We're going to open up the Bible now, and as I said, if you don't have one, do just raise your hand and someone will bring you one. We're looking at page number 1148, and this isn't a subject I've particularly chosen because it's today. This is part of a series we're in, looking at God and looking at issues of theology. Theology is who God is. We've been looking at God the Father, God the Son, and now in the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit transforms things that we might think of as ordinary or even pretty base and unhelpful, and yet the Holy Spirit comes and transforms them into something spiritual. And so we're looking at the question today, which is actually a big deal for all of us in different ways, is my sexuality spiritual? So if you're here, a visitor, we don't always talk about sex, but from time to time we do because the Bible does. And it's important that the Bible does because it's an issue in our lives that's very important. So let's read together, and I want to read actually a bit more than the verses we're going to focus on. I want to read from verse 9 of chapter 6 on page 1148, and this is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a church in Corinth. Corinth was a seaside town, known for a place where, people sought pleasure, a bit like Brighton, I guess, and this is what he writes to the church there, and we're going to pick it up in verse 9, and we're actually going to carry on till 7, verse 4, and it's important when you're reading the Bible just to look at the context, but we're going to focus just on a few verses this morning, and I'm not going to have a chance to say everything I could say, but I want to just focus on a few verses in the middle. So this is what verse 9 says. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Let's read again verse 18 to 20, which we're going to focus on. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Let me pray and ask that God would speak to us. And maybe just as we're doing this, sometimes these kind of times of looking in God's word, I find I enjoy them a lot more when I just try at the start and just say, God, I want to be right with you. Just take away anything in my life that would be getting in the way of me coming close to you. And it's amazing how God loves to hear those kinds of prayers. So Lord, we just pause now. So we talk about this issue, we just say, God, we want to be right with you. Take away from us here, from us as a church, anything that would get in the way of us being close to you. Lord, forgive it. Thank you that you love to forgive and cleanse, to make new. And Lord, I pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit and speak to us today. Change us, Lord. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I read some facts in this great little book called In Fact that I was given one Christmas, and these just made me smile and were, you know, a bit serious as well, but often these kind of things go together. It just said this. This is one little quote. In Britain, one woman in four prefers gardening to sex. The numbers are highest in East Anglia, where the ratio is 1 in 3. So I don't know if you're here from East Anglia, but don't worry if you are. Here's another one. On an average day, about 3.3% of the world's population has sex. I just thought that was interesting, because sometimes you can just assume everyone's having sex all the time, but it's not true at all. On an average day, only about 3.3% of the world's population is having sex. And here's the last one. And this maybe is a little warning, but we'll come to other warnings that may be more significant. But here it says that 6% of all heart attacks occur during sexual intercourse. And of these, 90% happen during extramarital sex. So there you go, that's warning enough. I could stop there, but actually there's some better reasons as well. You know, we all come to this subject today, don't we, from different places and different situations, different circumstances. Some are married, and some, quite possibly, are struggling in marriage. Some are widowed. Some are divorced. Some are in a relationship, it's going well. Some are in a relationship and it's going badly. Some are not in a relationship, some never have been. Some want to be, some don't want to be. Some are trying to get over a very bad relationship, maybe even past abuse. Some, the statistics are right now in our country, even maybe about half of the households, this country, the Western world, porn is a serious issue, problem in that household. So these are things where we all come from different places and perspectives, but I think we can all recognize that in our culture and in our city, and yes, in our church, these are issues we've got to be willing to address. We've got to be willing to come and say, what is the Bible, what does God's word have to say that could help us here? And I want to say right from the outset that if you're sitting there this morning in any way feeling awkward about these subjects, then let me say right at the start that God made us male and female. That was his intention. That was his design. And sex and love and relationships are his idea. You know, actually, the Bible is full of it. There's even a whole book, the Song of Songs, devoted to the celebration of relationships and sex and love. And it's a glorious picture, actually, of God's love and commitment and faithfulness to his people. The Bible's full, then, of this subject. And it's actually full of mistakes on this subject as well. People who mess up badly in their relationships. But people who find that even in their messy lives, God comes and touches them and restores them and enables them to start afresh and enables him to work through them. And I want to say right at the start that if this is an issue where you're in any way thinking, ouch, I've been hurt here, I'm feeling this is going to be a difficult talk. I want to just say right from the outset that the God that we've been worshiping in this service, the one who we've been singing about, is a God who restores. He's a God who comes in grace. He's a God who enters our world in the person of Jesus Christ to bring forgiveness and renewing and healing, to do wonderful things that are new. And I want to, in this talk, as it were, kind of dispel some myths that I think are out there, big style, about this whole area of sexuality. And I just want to say as well, in this talk, I'm not really going to get into the whole homosexuality, heterosexuality, all that kind of stuff. I'm really just saying, I think that God created us male and female. Those are the two main things. And that God created us in a way where he's put in us sexuality, and he puts in that boundaries and guidelines for how we can operate that in a way that is honoring to him and doesn't damage us or damage others, and that's what he's done for our benefit. But this whole issue of sexuality has just kind of gone crazy in our culture, and here are some of the myths I think that are around it. Here's up on the screen. I think we might even have them all at the same time here, Maria. So, you know, all sex is natural and healthy. That's what it's kind of the 1960s kind of try to throw into our culture, and the reality is that some sex can really damage others and damage yourself. It can be unhelpful and unhealthy in situations. But then sometimes, and this is actually back 100 years, the kind of church was a bit known for sometimes feeling this, but all sex is bad. Again, the Bible doesn't say that at all. That's a myth. Both of those are myths. And here's another myth that is bombarded at us in magazines and in the TV and the media, that only the young and the beautiful have real sexuality. You know, once you get past, I don't know what, 30 or something, you're kind of thinking, oh, you know, this is not about me. But no, actually the Bible says we all, as part of who we are, male and female, have a sexuality. Being self-controlled denies your sexuality. That's a myth. It's a myth that if you actually are self-controlled in how you deal with your sexuality, that you're denying it somehow. That is a myth. Here's another myth, that sex, or if you like, because in the Bible it says that sex is for marriage, so you could say marriage there. Some people think, well, marriage is for everyone. Everyone should be married. But actually the Bible doesn't say that. That's not for everyone. And so in the same way, sex then isn't for everyone. And lastly, sex or marriage will make me happier. Many people, I think, feel that, oh, wow, if I could just have sex, or if I could just be, you know, married, because that's the place where, sex should be, then I'll be content, I'll find happiness, I'll find joy. And someone said to me very helpfully before I got married, said, David, if you're not content without being married, you'll never be content when you're married. Because actually, contentment is not found in sex or in marriage. Contentment's found in God. Joy is found in God. Yeah, there's other things that God gives that can bring joy and can bring things. But ultimately, if we're looking for satisfaction, if we're looking for contentment and joy, these things are found in God. And so I think that one of the jobs of the church is to do two things. One of the jobs of the church is to say to this world and to proclaim in situations like this and through pointing people to the Bible unashamedly and say that God has a purpose for our sexuality. God has a place for it, and that place is in marriage between a man and a woman, and sex is meant for that. And that sexuality that God's given us is good, and we all have it, and that attraction is good, and yet it's meant to be expressed in marriage. That doesn't mean if it's not expressed in marriage that it's not expressed in any way at all. No, there can be great joy that comes from friendships with people of the opposite sex and people of the same sex. There can be great joy in connecting. And there's something of sexuality which is about our connecting with people in a wonderful way. But sex, in all its forms, is meant for marriage between a man and a woman. That's what the Bible is really clear on. It's there in some of these bits surrounding 1 Corinthians that we were talking about. And we need to, as a church, just keep holding that stand out, saying, that's it. So like the prophetic voice of the church. That's what the prophets of old did. They said, this is what God's word is. We need to say that. But we also, as a church, need to have a kind of pastoral voice. A voice that says, look, our place is, yes, to hold out this prophetic word, but it's not to come with judgment. Our voice is to come as well with this pastoring of grace and of love of bringing the restoration and the forgiveness and the grace of Jesus Christ, who went around. And yes, he said, you know, sex outside of marriage. He said, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you're committing adultery. That was his kind of standard. And he said, this is how it is. That's, if you do that, that's sin. He wasn't afraid to say it. But then he wasn't afraid to come to a prostitute and say, look, your sins are forgiven. Look, you're restored. So we need both those dealings in a messy world we come to. We need to be willing to go out into our city and welcome in to God's family people who've messed up big style on this kind of thing and even aware of it. That's our calling as a church, to both these things. And they're here in this passage, even in that early part in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. There's that really high standard that, you know, if you do these things, you know, they're the things that keep you from heaven, from the kingdom of God. But that doesn't mean that no one's going to get into heaven. No, because by God's grace, there can be cleansing. There can be washing, verse 11. There can be restoring. And so in this brief time we have left, I just want to talk about two things. I want to talk about how our sexuality can become immorality. Our sexuality can become immorality. And then I want to talk about how our sexuality should be spiritual. And I really just want to take these few verses and talk about it straight from here. So first, our sexuality can become immorality. And we see this all around us. We see, and even the world's so used to it now, we see adulteries and affairs and things that are messing lives up. And, you know, teenage pregnancies and even what you'd almost have to say, child pregnancies. We see trafficking of sex slaves going on a crazy scale. You know that in the Starbucks in Gatwick, people are sold as sex slaves. Staggering what goes on in our city, in our nation. So we know that sexuality can come immorality, and it'll come that in our own life, because sexuality is such a powerful lure, and we need to be careful. And what the Bible says here in verse 18 is, it says, flee. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from the temptations that can lead us into sin potentially. And we need to be ruthless like that. We need to be willing to up and go. Don't kind of try and, you know, actually sometimes we get it confused in our mind. We think we should resist temptation. No, we're to resist the devil. We're to flee temptation. So when you find yourself in a situation, whether it's something you're looking at or in a relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend, or you feel like, you know, you're not, you're not going to be able to control this situation very well, go, leave, just head out the door, turn off the TV, do whatever it takes and move. Flee from temptation. We also, you know, need to replace the lies. And there are many lies that are prevalent in people's minds about this kind of subject. Here are some of them. It's not hurting anyone. It's not hurting anyone. Look down at this passage and see how that lie is kind of blown out the water. Flee from sexual immorality, because all other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Sexual immorality hurts us. It hurts our relationship with God. And ultimately it will hurt our relationship with our future spouse, our future husband or wife, or your current husband and wife. And this is sexual immorality that's from anything from an adultery or an affair to just lustful thoughts or looking at porn or whatever it is. All that is going to hurt your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse. And yeah, it's even going to hurt your own life. So it's a lie that it's not hurting anyone. It's actually, sometimes, this is another lie, it's my body, I'll do what I like with it. Well, again, this is where this passage speaks directly into that. It says, no, it's God's body. If you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit is in you, and we'll come to that a bit more, it's God's body. And actually, if you're married, it's doubly not your body, because it's your spouse's body. Did you see that in verse 3 of chapter 7? Whether you're a husband, your body belongs to your wife as well as you. If you're a wife, your body belongs to your husband as well as you. So it's not just, you know, my body and I can do whatever I like with. That's a lie. And here's another lie. It's my body and it's nothing special. You know, does it matter what I do with my body? Paul says, yes, it matters what you do with your body. It's very special. That's a lie. Don't listen to that. Here's another lie. I could never be free of this. You know, I can never be free of these sins and, you know, and this addiction. Many people are addicted to sex in our culture. And some people think they can never be free of it. That's a lie. There is freedom that God can bring. Yes, there's often temptations, and we need to watch that. If we ever think we're never going to be tempted again, we're on dangerous ground. But it's a lie to think that you're never going to be able to be free of it. And lastly, there's this lie where you think, I can never be forgiven for what I've done. You know, sometimes people have got this idea in their head that there's, you know, that sexual immorality is the unforgiven sin, the unforgivable sin. Absolute rubbish. The Bible knows nothing of that. In fact, Jesus himself was forgiving prostitutes, as I said at the beginning. So we know that it's not an unforgivable sin. It's something when we sin in this way that we can be forgiven from. We can be restored. But we do need to be willing to call sexual immorality sin. That means it's an offense to God that if we don't deal with, will keep us from heaven. Let me say that again. Sexual immorality in all its forms is a sin. And if we don't deal with it, if we don't allow God to clear it up, to forgive us, if we don't change, it will keep you from heaven, from intimacy with God. That's what this passage has said. And so we need to do what? We need to do what the Bible calls repent. We need to turn around. We need to turn from sin and turn to other things. Turn to what is good, what is pleasing to God. And we're going to move on and look at that. But let me just say in these three things, this is like, you know, fire. Fire has a place. It's meant to be in a house. It's meant to be in the fireplace. Yeah? That's the same with sex. It's meant to be in marriage, in a covenant relationship of faithfulness. That's where it's meant to be. Don't let the fire just go anywhere, because that's when houses burn down. That's when people get hurt and killed. Keep sex, which is wonderful and warm and glowing and God-given, but keep it for the fireplace. And let us turn from these other things. And if you'll find there's little fires breaking out and you're thinking, how can I help? Maybe it is a problem you've got with internet porn. There's this great tool that people have put together as a free resource called x3watch.com. It's actually part of a thing called the xxxchurch.com website, which is trying to help people who are caught in porn. It's a kind of almost a church group that's specifically trying to help people who are struggling with porn. So it's pretty rememberable, isn't it? xxxchurch.com. Go there. This is an issue for you. And get this software so you can help and you can link up with others who can help you be accountable in this area. So it's a little tool there. If it's something else where you're thinking, I just got to get out of that, then get out of that. Make the change. Am I being clear? It's important stuff. This will hurt you, hurt others if you don't get it sorted, if we don't actually come to God. So the next thing I want to see is that while our sexuality can be immorality, can become immorality, actually our sexuality should be spiritual. And this is amazing. That our sexuality, and in fact our whole body, everything about us can be spiritual, because this is what the passage here says. It says, flee sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And what we've been doing in these talks is we've been getting out a kind of theological toolkit. And last week I talked about how this kind of theological toolkit, this year could be my little Leatherman. It's actually a cheap version of a Leatherman. But I was just thinking about this, and I was actually thinking about a knife. The Holy Spirit can be like a knife. Here we go. You know, portable, you can carry it with you. But the amazing thing about a knife is that it can, if you're trapped and you're bound, it can set you free. It can set you free. And the Holy Spirit, as he comes to us through Jesus Christ, brings freedom and forgiveness and redemption. Redemption is a word that is used of how Jesus has come, like to a slave market. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those old ancient Roman films where there's not made in Roman times, by the way, about ancient Rome. And, you know, they are the people in slave markets, and there's bidders saying, oh, look, there's that slave. I'll give you, tuppence for him. And imagine, you're there. I'm there. David Trenier, a slave. And the Bible says we were all slaves to sin at one time. Maybe you already at this time feel like that. And the Bible says that Jesus comes into that slave market and says, okay, I see people bidding for this slave. And he says, I'll have David. I'll buy David. I'll buy David with my own life. That's how much he's worth to me. And I'll set him free. And we're free then to live for God. Not for ourselves, but for him who set us free. And he gives us of his spirit to do that. And so what I want us to see here is that sexuality should be spiritual as we receive Jesus, as we receive his words to us, as we receive him. And through Christ, we're then given these wonderful things. And I think let's have them all at the same time here, Maria. We're given forgiveness. We're given freedom. That's what forgiveness is. It's being washed clean. But we're given more than that. We're given the truth to counteract those lies that we were hearing about before. And we're given ultimately the gift of God's Spirit so that we can cut out of this mess. We can, as it were, have the truth like a point to a knife that comes and just cuts through the rubbish. And we're given the Spirit to be with us, to equip us in all different situations. And so look again at chapter 6. Look at verse 11. See the washing. I don't know what your background is in this whole thing of sexuality and sex, but I tell you this. There were people of all sorts in the church in Corinth from all different backgrounds. All those things mentioned in verse 9 and 10, there were people like that in the church. But they'd been washed. They'd been sanctified. That means forgiven, made right. They'd been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. God can wash you and restore you today so that you feel pure. Pure. But you know what? He also speaks truth into your life. And here's some of the truths he speaks. He says this. This is what's here in this passage. Look, I think we've got a bunch of them up on the screen here. Let me just say, the truth is that the Spirit is God, and amazingly, our body is a temple for God to come and dwell. That the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, actually comes and dwells within us and turns our lives, our bodies, into something holy. It was put so beautifully in one of the books I was reading on this passage. I kind of had to read it out to you. Here's what it says. He says, Paul makes five powerful statements about the body and then concludes with his kind of tour de force. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And he says this, let us remind ourselves that Paul is talking about our own physical bodies, bodies which grow tired and wear out, which sweat and bleed and vomit, which grow pot-bellied and run out of breath. It is our bodies, he continues, which are instruments either for evil or good. It is our bodies that Paul urges us to present to God as a living sacrifice. Obedience or disobedience are expressed in our bodies, or they're expressed nowhere. Obedience for the Christian is a body activity. God does not address us purely as minds or emotions or wills, but as people with bodies. God has come and dwelt in your body by his Holy Spirit, and he's come to be in us. And so everything you do, whether you're brushing your teeth, whether you're watching TV, whether, like we were saying last week, you're going to work, whether you're having sex, yes, he is there. If you're a believer and you've welcomed into your life, he is there. And that doesn't mean, whoa, never have sex. No. It means make sure if you're having sex that you're doing it where he is ordained for it to be. Because he has come by his Spirit to dwell in our body. But you know, the next truth is here, that the Spirit is a seal and our body is not our own. It's been bought as a price. He's redeemed us. Remember that picture from the slave market? And so that's what he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? See, it's straight from the Bible here. Who you've received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And God has sealed that purchase with his Holy Spirit. We've got some verses here, I think, from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. I think, is that right, Maria? I'm just looking at my notes here. That's the one. 1:22, God set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Spirit is like a seal. You're sealed with him. But also, this seal, as we go on in the next verse here, Maria, This is another verse in the Bible. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you've been sealed for the day of redemption. The God's Spirit comes when you believe in Jesus Christ, and it's as if it's a seal on your life. But here's the thing, you can grieve him. When you're doing things that don't please him, yeah, when you're watching things that you shouldn't be watching, when you're having wrong thoughts or wrong actions, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean he leaves completely, but it can feel like it because he withdraws in our lives. Are you doing things at the moment which are grieving the Holy Spirit, where you're not experiencing the fullness of God in your lives? Well, the truth is that he wants to be fully there in your life. He wants you to realize your body's not your own. And he wants you to honor him in your body so that this Spirit comes and is fully there and is bearing fruit in your life, and that your body then becomes a place where God is honored and glorified. And this is wonderful because actually God's Spirit helps us with our sexuality. So here's what the Spirit does. The Spirit comes and gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. When someone's got that, their sexuality is just more beautiful, more splendid, more full. It's a better sexuality enhancer than having a great six-pack or, you know, breast implants or whatever you like. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit comes. And you imagine that, someone who's got love and joy and peace. Aren't they just radiant? You imagine in a sexual, you know, with your sexuality, whether you're married or not married, how good it is to have faithfulness, patience. How important in sex is patience? How important when you're not married is patience? How important is self-control for our sexuality? How important is faithfulness? And the Spirit comes and bears these things in our lives. So let him, let the truth know that you know, if you want your sexuality improved, you need the Spirit. You don't need to go to sites that are going to stimulate some other things. You need the Spirit in your life. And so lastly, we don't just need the truth. We need the Spirit. We need God's forgiveness. We need the truths, how important our body is, how it's a place that God doesn't say, oh, that's rubbish. No, he says this is precious, this is vital. But we need the Spirit of the living God to come and be within us. And he comes to those who receive Christ. It's like all these things come to us in Christ. He's like a wonderful, here, I've got this here anyway, this is my toolkit, but I'll use it for this illustration. It's like Christ is a gift that God gives to us. And in Christ, in the gift, so many things you can't imagine. In him is forgiveness. In him is the truth. The Bible says that in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, as we receive him, is this gift of the Spirit, God himself coming to dwell within us. And so I want to end by saying two things. Repent. Turn from sin. Flee from it. Turn from lies. Turn from sin in your life. And turn to the truth. Turn to Christ. Turn to Jesus and receive. Receive forgiveness. Receive forgiveness that can give you a new start today. Receive the Spirit. God coming and dwelling within you that can change and transform your life and make your sexuality become spiritual and wonderful and so many other things besides. Because the Spirit brings life to your very being. So I want to end this time by just saying, maybe getting the band to come up, just they can be playing. But I want to end this time by saying, I reckon in this area, all of us have something to repent for. It might be that what we have to repent from is not actually something that we've done, but something we've seen others done, and then we've kind of labeled them and condemned them, and we're never going to love them, or we're always gossiping about them or saying horrible things about them, and we're not demonstrating Christ to them. It might be that we've always thought that our sexuality was rubbish. We try to just avoid ever thinking or talking about it. And we need to repent of that. It might be that there is an addiction or a wrong relationship or something in your past and you just want to repent of that, I don't know what it is, but I can pretty safely say that all of us here in this manner have something to repent of. But also I would say this, my longing for all of us here is that we would receive more of God's Spirit. And it might be today that you know God's Spirit in your life, you can feel Him, you can experience Him. Hallelujah. You probably know that without Him we're sunk. But it might be too that actually you're here and you've never known God's Spirit. I tell you, it's the most wonderful thing in the world to know that God has come and taken up residence in you, and the most ordinary things, the things of the body, can become the most wonderful spiritual things. And I would love to pray for you to be receive the Holy Spirit. And if you've known Him already, to receive a fresh filling of God's Holy Spirit. If you don't know Him, and maybe you're even just tenderly here for the first time, I'd love to pray that somehow God in these days ahead would reveal something of Himself to you. And so what I'm going to ask is that as we end now, everyone stand. I'm not going to get people to raise their hand or say, yeah, I was actually in this terrible relationship and whatever. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to assume that we're here together and we're all of us, as the Bible says, sinners, and that the only hope for all of us is grace. And I'm going to lead us in two prayers, one a prayer of repentance, one a prayer, and you can echo it in your heart if you want to, and I'd urge you to. But if you don't want to, that's fine, but this is between you and God, not between you and me. It's a prayer where you're turning to Him, and then I'm going to lead you in another prayer where you're saying, God, I receive Your Spirit, come and fill me. These are prayers that God has said, if you pray them, He hears them. He answers. He's able to turn us around and make us clean. And so we just come in this moment, and maybe just before I pray, just think, is there some way, something I've said, something that the Bible has been challenging you on this morning that you need to repent of? Echo this in your heart. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I've sinned in thought and word and deed. I turn from my sin to You. I repent. And I receive, Jesus, Your forgiveness, Your grace. And I ask You, Lord, fill me now with Your Holy Spirit. I believe in You. I believe You can help me. I believe I need You. And so I receive this wonderful gift, God, of You coming and dwelling in my life. Because I ask in the name of Jesus the Savior, my Savior. Amen. And so, Holy Spirit, I would pray, breathe through this whole congregation, just like these fans are blowing this air. God, breathe Your breath right now. Keep us from sin. Cause us to be salt and light in this world. Cause us to be those that hold out truth and yet are able, please God, to bring Your grace and Your love to hurting, struggling people. May we show grace to one another. And please, God, I pray particularly for men filled with Your Spirit, God, men who are living for You. So, God, bless each one who's here this morning. May we seek You with all our heart. May we find You, for You are the treasure above all treasures. And we worship You. Thank You, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.